Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. As you can probably tell, I am not your regular host, Michelle Cachette, because she is at home recovering from her battle with cancer. But the good news is she is beating doctors' predictions, and she's going to be back here before we know it, and we're very grateful for that. My name is Stu McLaren, and I am here in studio with the one and only Mr. Michael Hyatt. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Stu. Welcome. Thanks so much for sitting in for Michelle.
I am honored, and you know, it's big shoes to fill. She's an amazing host, an amazing person, and I can't wait until she's back in studio.
I know, and I can't wait either, but I've got to give you a proper introduction.
Okay.
Okay, so I jotted a few notes. So Stu's Canadian, in case you can't tell.
Yes.
A.
So first of all, let's just warn the listeners. You're going to hear a little bit different of shouts and abouts, I'm sure. So let's just get that out of the way.
I love it when you talk like that. Stu is married to Amy, his lovely wife, Amy. He has two children, including his youngest now, Sam, whom they adopted from South Africa, and Marla, who's a gem. What is she, three?
Yeah, she's three going on four.
Yeah, so. Just precious. Stu is the co-founder of Wishlist Member and the co-founder of Rhino Support. He's also the co-founder with me of Platform University and 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever. He's one of my best friends and just an all-around great guy. You're going to love him. And Stu, I can't thank you enough for being willing to do this. You got some big shoes to fill.
I do. I mean, I love listening to the show because Michelle is just so fluid. She has great insights.
Yeah.
But we'll do our best. You know, we're just going to hold down the fort until she's back in and, let's get rolling.
All right, let's do it.
So we're kicking off the new season with this episode, and we're going to talk about the one way to guarantee that you don't succeed. What are we talking about? Well, let's take a little clip from your blog where you once wrote, "Success has many determining factors, including dumb luck. But I've noticed one indispensable ingredient without which you cannot possibly hope to succeed. That's persistence. We've all seen talented, smart, and well-trained people bottom out. Success takes something more, the willingness to keep going even when the odds are bad and our enthusiasm has waned." President Calvin Coolidge supposedly said, "Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence." The line actually goes back even farther, but the truth is indisputable. Persistence is essential. Now, I know persistence has been a factor in your success, but I want to rewind all the way back to your childhood because I know there's a story there where persistence played a big role. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I think I began to learn persistence early on when I took up the guitar. Now, I have to give you the context. I had broken my elbow playing football. And so that was kind of the end of my career and what I thought was the end of my opportunity to really attract the girls. And so I thought, what's the next best thing? Oh, I can learn to play guitar. Okay.
So if you can't be an athlete, you're going to be a musician.
Exactly. It's one or the other. So my parents bought me a guitar and I started taking lessons. And I'm thinking to myself at the beginning of this, now you have to realize I broke my arm playing football, so it was still in a cast when I got this guitar.
So you didn't have you had a handicap right from the get-go.
I had a handicap from the get-go.
Yeah.
So I had to persist against that. But they got me some lessons, and I thought to myself, how hard could this be? You know, you watch these people on TV, and they're amazing when they play guitar, and you think, you know, you just got to stand up there, look cool, hold your mouth just right, you can do it. And so I got the guitar. I found out it was a lot more difficult than that because mostly what came out of the guitar when I began to strum, it sounded like, you know, cats screeching. And I learned that I had to master scales and the chord patterns, and my hands hurt.
Yeah, because when you're learning guitar, you really don't realize how hard it is on your fingers.
That's right. You don't have the calluses built up yet.
Yep.
And frankly, this is a pretty cheap guitar, so the strings were pretty far from the fretboard.
Yeah.
So it was just really challenging. And I soon learned that it wasn't about talent so much as it was about persistence. You know, in life, it's not the people that are smart that succeed necessarily, or the people that are the most experienced, or the people that have the most talent, but often it's the people that persist. And that was true in playing guitar, and I became pretty good. I was a music major for the first 2 years of college, ended up switching to another major, but I love music, but I only love it because I enjoyed learning to play, because I learned my scales, I learned the chords, I learned the rudimentary stuff, and I persevered through those early days of making a lot of noise.
And you've recently jumped back into playing guitar?
I have.
I know your daughter, Madeline, kind of instigated that, and you guys went out and you got a new guitar.
I did, and that was such a joy. We went to the guitar store, and they were bringing me various guitars, and at this time in my life, I could afford a much better guitar than I could in those days. And so they brought me this one guitar, this Martin guitar, that was unbelievable. And I literally, both of us, Madeline and I both started just spontaneously crying as I played it.
Wow. What a powerful moment.
It was a powerful moment. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, let's talk about persistence, because you have 6 tricks for teaching or training ourselves to persist. So this is something that we can learn. And I want to find out what those tricks are. Let's start with trick number one.
Okay. Well, we live in a instant everything society. People don't have a lot of persistence. You know, if you don't get the results you want immediately, you switch to something else. And people do this in marriages. They do it in careers. They do it in trying to learn an instrument. Whatever it is, they switch. And so these tricks are designed to help you stay the course, build persistence, get the momentum so that you ultimately succeed. And the first trick I have is really about setting goals. You know, take whatever project, whatever it is you're trying to tackle, and break it down into smaller goals, so that you can really make it manageable. You know, it's kind of the old adage, how do you eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time? So I can think back when I was wanting to write a book for the first time, I actually sold the concept. And by the way, that took huge persistence too, because 29 publishers said no to me.
Wow.
Before the 30th one said yes. And so that took a lot of persistence. But then when I signed the contract, got paid a small amount of money, I was so excited for about 2 minutes. And then I realized, oh my gosh, now I've got to write this book.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, okay, so how hard could that be, right? And so as I sat down and I wrote every day for 2 hours in the morning before work, trying to finish this, and then the deadline was looming and I wasn't even close to being finished. Hmm. And so the only way that I could persist through that was to break it down into these small chunks and say, I'm not writing a book. All I'm trying to write is about 1,000 words today.
Yeah.
Or write 2,000 words today. And so whatever it was, whatever my goal was for that day, and I worked off word count, I persisted until I got all the way through it.
Wow. And I think goals in general have played a big role in your life.
They have.
And this is really helping train yourself to be more persistent, is using the goals as an asset to help you get there.
Yep, absolutely.
Awesome. Okay, so that's the first trick. Let's get to the second trick of learning to teach yourself how to persist.
The second trick is to keep the end in mind, the ultimate outcome. And when I was writing my last book, Platform Get Noticed in a Noisy World, again, I don't know why every book is like this, but they're always difficult. You know, I've written 7 books, and this one was just as difficult as the first, even though I'd learned some tricks and kind of, you know, I'd been through it before, so I knew I would make it.
And you've been in the publishing world for years and years and years.
Decades.
Mean, this was no new experiment for you.
Oh, my gosh. But I got that first draft done. And I'm reviewing it, and the manuscript was already overdue. And I'm reviewing the manuscript, and I'm thinking to myself, this isn't that good. I don't like it. I was really thinking to myself, I'm going to give the advance money back to the publisher, and I'm just not going to publish it.
These are all the internal thoughts you
have. All the internal thoughts I'm having. But then I got reconnected to the outcome I was after. Hmm. And I just said to myself, you know, what I'm really about, what I want this book to do, is to help all these authors that I couldn't help before because I didn't have a book to give them, help them build their platform so that they could get their message out and get heard. And so that was the thing that kept me going, was to keep the end in mind and to think of the big picture.
This was really important to you for the, you know, for that bigger picture of helping the authors, help them spread their message.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really was the thing that made me say, okay, I'm going to go through another edit of this manuscript. I'm going to clean it up. We're going to publish it.
Awesome. Okay, so that's trick number 2, is keep the end in mind. What's the third trick?
I think the third trick is to improve your pace and renew your enthusiasm. You know, I think there are times when you just have to push through and when you have to pick up the pace a little bit. And even though you want to quit, you just got to stay focused. And the best thing that's helped me there is to reconnect with my why. Why am I doing this? And so in that case, in Platform, I was thinking about all the readers that I wanted to affect. I'm thinking to myself, it's important that I learn the skill of persevering. I got to practice not quitting myself.
Yeah.
You know, I know what it's going to do for my business, what it's going to do for my speaking career, what it's going to do for every other aspect. But so that started giving me the enthusiasm, and particularly to visualize what it would be like when I have this thing done.
The victory.
The victory.
The finish line.
You know, and I literally wrote down in the midst of that, I wrote down on my goal sheet for the next year, because I always have goals for the coming year. And I said, I want it to hit the New York Times list by the end of May. And I think that was 2011. And it was a very specific goal. It felt very audacious to me. But I thought, wow, if I could do that, and I just let myself imagine it for a moment, if I could do that, what would it make possible?
Yeah.
Would make possible a lot. It would make possible the opportunity to reach more people, to give this message the attention it deserved, to get more authors enrolled, all of that stuff. And by the way, it did hit the book by the hit the New York Times list by the end of May,
which was amazing.
I mean,
and it did open up those opportunities for you.
It did
a lot more speaking engagements,
just as I envisioned.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say every goal happens like that. Not every goal does, but that one did, and it was an incredible encouragement to me.
What a great thing it does, too, to reiterate the power of what we're talking about here and learning to persist.
Yeah.
Because had you not, you know, persisted, got through that, you would never have reached, you never finished the book, you would never have reached the goal.
Oh, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the doorway. Little did I realize, but it was the doorway that opened everything else. So just improving your pace, you know, picking up the pace when you want to quit, but to just keep pushing through. The truth is, most of us can do more than we think we're capable of. Mm. We have more reserve than we think we might. And there are times in the pursuit of any project or any big goal that we just have to tap into that, kind of man up, so to speak, and push through.
And you talk about the messy middle, because we all face it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the learning to persist is really going to help us get through that.
It really will. And that messy middle is something I think I picked up from Donald Miller the first time I heard about it. But it's that middle of any pursuit of any goal or any project or anything that's worthwhile. Could be your marriage, could be your kids, could be anything, but where you just want to quit. Hmm. You're not sure you have the strength to finish, but you're also not sure you got the gas to go back. So you're kind of caught in the middle, and you ultimately do have to press on. But that's the messy middle, and it's easy to lose touch with why you're even doing what you're doing.
Well, we're talking about 6 tricks that we can all learn to train ourselves to persist. So far, we talked about 1, set goals. 2, keep the end in mind. And 3, improve your pace and renew your enthusiasm. We still got 3 more tricks that we're going to get to right after this break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 proven strategies for creating more margin for the things that matter most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. We are talking about one way to guarantee you don't succeed, and that is by not learning how to persist. And you've been sharing tricks on how to learn to persist. 1, set goals. 2, keep the end in mind. 3, improve your pace and renew your enthusiasm. What's trick 4?
Trick 4 is to run and walk. There's got to be recovery time, even in the pursuit of a big goal, if we're going to be able to persist. When we most want to quit is when we're the most tired.
Ah.
And we won't get as tired if we build in those recovery times. I learned a great running technique from Jeff Galloway. Jeff Galloway is the inventor, I think, of the run-walk method of running. And he's had even really seasoned athletes improve their times in marathon races by not only running, but also walking. So it looks like this. So you might run for 30 seconds and then walk for 30 seconds, or run for 30 seconds and walk for 90 seconds. I mean, there's a lot of different variations. You have to do what's right for you. But the point is that when you walk, you build in that recovery time. And you can actually improve your overall time by doing that, because as it turns out, rest is really important. And when we just grind on a project, you know, this is not persistence, but we just grind on a project, we think we're going to push through, we're not going to take any breaks,
yep.
We're not going to take any weekends, we're not going to take any vacations, that's a recipe for burnout. That's not a recipe for perseverance, it's a recipe for burnout. And when that happens, it's not good for anybody. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you.
And that's common, especially leaders, entrepreneurs, particularly your audience, because I know you yourself, you're an achiever.
Yep.
And so the natural instinct there is just to keep working, keep working, keep going, keep going. But what you're saying here is you got to take time to recover.
Well, think about this. Think, you know, you're working on a project, you've got a deadline, and it's late at night and you're trying to push through, and it takes you 4 hours to do something that if you had a good night's sleep and were working on it in the morning, you could probably do in 20 minutes.
Right.
So you got to be smart. And you've got to just, there's a time when you just have to stop and say, enough's enough. I need more rest. I've got to get sleep. I've got to go out for a walk. I've got to get a change of scenery. Something has to change. And that's a key to persistence over the long haul.
It's interesting when you were talking about Jeff Galloway's method of running, walking. I remember reading an article from a tennis trainer, a professional tennis trainer. And he was talking about the difference between some of the like the top in the world, top three, top five tennis players in the world versus, you know, some of the other players. And one of the distinctions that he discovered was that the top percentage, like the very top best players in the world, were using the time in between the actual, you know, game itself to just rest. They were standing still. So they weren't doing a lot of pacing. They weren't doing a lot of walking. They were using those few seconds, you know, the 7 to 10, 15 seconds in between, you know, when the guys or girls are playing. They were using them to just keep their body still and rest. And but over time, over the course of the match, that accumulated to quite a bit of rest time. And he was saying in the article how that impacts the player's endurance and all that kind of stuff. So it's amazing how even in a tennis match or in a race or what have you, those little rest periods, they accumulate and become a big deal.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah.
Awesome.
You got to build it in.
Okay, so number four is run and walk. What's the fifth trick to learning to persist?
Kill the distractions. You know, stay focused. I think one of the reasons we don't persist is because we get so distracted by so many things. You know, it's like the squirrel syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, you see
squirrel.
The bright, shiny object or the squirrel that's off in the distance. You stop what you're doing and you go running after that rather than persisting on course. So the more focus you can have, the fewer distractions you have, the more traction you can gain, the more momentum you can build, and the more likely you are to finish.
Now, this is hard, though, especially the more success you have because more opportunities come your way. So how do you kill distractions?
Yeah, well, I think it's getting really crystal clear on what it is I'm called to do, and it's not very many things, you know, and I don't have to do everything. I just need to do what I'm called to do and do it very well. And so when those opportunities come up, and believe me, I struggle with this. You know this.
Yep.
You know, and those opportunities, it's sometimes hard. It's usually hard to say no to them.
Especially when it's coming from people that you know, like, and want to work
with.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep.
But what I have to remember is that in order to say no, I have to be committed to a bigger yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, say that again, because that's great.
Okay, so in order to say no, I have to be committed to a bigger yes. So when I say no to that business opportunity to go on that great speaking engagement, what I'm really saying yes to is staying home with Gail, staying with my family and friends, or staying focused on a bigger project that I know is going to have much longer-term value than just that one speaking engagement.
Awesome. So that's kill the distractions. What's your sixth and final trick to learning how to persist?
The sixth and final trick is to change your self-image. I know a lot of people don't see themselves as very persistent. They might even see themselves as a quitter. You know, maybe they had an experience where they quit on something. Maybe they quit on a marriage, or they quit on a job, or they quit on something else. And they kind of develop this self-image that doesn't help them going forward. It may have been true in that one instance, but when they universalize it or globalize it, it doesn't serve them well. And so I think just to ask yourself the question, what's that inner dialogue happening? And I think to repeat to yourself, to just say, you know what? I don't quit.
Right.
I'm a finisher. And I know when I'm in the gym and I'm doing, for example, just a simple thing I was doing yesterday, push-ups. And my trainer wanted me to go to 20. And as I'm doing those, I'm literally thinking, I'm not thinking about I might not make it. I'm not thinking this is more than I've done in one set. I'm thinking to myself, 2-0, 2-0. I'm going to push through and I'm going to get 2-0. And so I'm thinking positively what I'm trying to accomplish. And it worked, you know?
Well, I remember because here I am co-hosting the show, but I'm a big fan of the show. I've listened to you and Michelle. And I remember Michelle reiterating a story of her and her son when her son was learning to become a runner, and how they went for a run and they had a marker as far as where they would end the run, and her son finished short. And she used that as an opportunity to say, listen, no, we don't ever stop. We always go through to the end and finish.
Yeah.
And I thought as a parent, that's just a great lesson to be able to teach your kids as well, not only to teach them, but to demonstrate to them as well.
Yeah. And it's important, even if you have to walk, you know, to the end, to get to the end somehow, because to develop that self-image of being a finisher is really important. And it builds confidence so that when we take that next project, there's always going to come that time when you're in the messy middle, when you want to quit. But if you persevered before, if you made it through before, you know you're going to make it through.
It's like a muscle.
It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in the middle of a launch right now, a product launch. And, you know, it's kind of that messy middle where you're not quite sure what the results are going to be. You're going to make your goals. You're not going to make your goals. But we've been through this loop a lot of times, and we know we're going
to
be fine.
And you begin to trust yourself. You begin to know that, you know, no matter what challenges you're going to face, you're going to persist and get through it.
You're going to have the resources to figure it out.
I know when a few years back I was in a race, a running race in Hawaii. It was a 13-kilometer race. And one of the things that I loved was at the end of it, they gave you T-shirts, and on the back it said finisher. And
I was like, I love that.
Yeah, I love that. It was like labeling yourself as a finisher.
That's a great label.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so we've talked about six tricks for training ourselves to persist. Number one, set goals. Number two, keep the end in mind. Three, improve your pace and renew your enthusiasm. Four, run and walk. Five, kill the distractions. Six, change your self-image. So as we wrap up this episode, I want to ask you to share some of the big temptations to quit and how we can beat them.
Okay.
So let's get started with that.
Yeah, I just have four of these.
Okay.
Number one temptation is misperceptions about how long it should take. Here's reality. Things always take longer than you think.
Come on now. Seriously?
I'm in the middle of finishing a big construction project that has taken exactly twice as long as we thought it would take.
Wow.
And as long as I have that misperception, there's going to be the temptation to quit. But if I have the perception that it is going to take probably twice as long as I factor, then I'm not surprised when it happens.
Yep.
And I'm able to press through and persevere and get to the other side.
And I think this is interesting, not only with the length of time, but I find this temptation also, even with people, like if you begin to see that people react in a common way and you expect a different reaction, I think that can be dangerous in the sense that, you know, you're being tempted by a misperception of the person and how long, how they may react or their behavior, but also like how, as you're saying here, a misperception about how long it will take with certain projects.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, yep. So what other big temptations are we gonna face to quit?
Another one is just discouragement over the apparent lack of progress. When I first started blogging in 2004, I was writing a little bit sporadically, but pretty consistently, but I couldn't attract in 4 years over 1,000 readers a month. And so it would have been easy for me to quit, to just throw in the towel and say, this is more effort than it's worth. I'm never going to build a platform, even though we didn't use the word platform in those days. But in 2008, I suddenly went from an average of 1,000 unique visitors a month to 22,000 unique visitors a month.
That's a pretty staggering increase.
It was like the hockey stick, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was all the increase came in that fifth year, and then it's grown exponentially since then to where now I enjoy about 500,000 unique visitors a month. But I could have quit in year four.
Yep.
Because I could have been discouraged over the apparent lack of progress and said it's just not worth it. And most people quit right before the inflection point.
Right when they're closest to succeeding.
Right, and if they would just hang in there and just give it a little while longer, they might see the good results of all their work.
So that's another temptation, discouragement over an apparent lack of progress.
Yeah, another temptation is the temptation to go it alone. And this is where people often get stuck, the Lone Ranger kind of phenomenon. And one of the best hacks, if you will, one of the best ways to finish and keep moving toward your goals and to persist is to bring in outside support, not go it alone. You know, maybe your spouse that you enroll, it may be a friend or an accountability partner or an accountability group or a mastermind, or you might hire somebody. Like I know we both have personal trainers because we wouldn't get in the gym otherwise.
Well, a good example, I've shared this with you personally, but when we went away for our adoption, we were gone for 6 weeks to South Africa. Now, prior to that, I had been consistently going to the gym 3 times a week. Never failed. I was there every time, 3 times a week. When we went to South Africa, I exercised 3 times the entire 6 weeks that I was there. It was pretty pathetic.
Different frequency.
Yeah. And I definitely attribute it to just having that accountability partner, that somebody who is just there to hold me accountable, which for me is my trainer, but it can be friend, a spouse, a mentor, mm-hmm. a coach, all kinds of people. But as you said, going, the temptation is to go it alone, especially for entrepreneurs. I think that.
Oh, yeah. We think for somehow there's a badge of honor if we've gone it alone.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
Okay, so that's another temptation. Any others?
Yeah, a final one is just getting disconnected from our why. People lose their way when they lose their why. And one of the best ways to make sure that we persist is constantly ask ourselves, why is this important? What's at stake? What's at stake if I complete it? What's at stake if I don't complete it? You know, what are the consequences either way? But staying really connected to why you're doing what you're doing, that'll keep you persisting. That's why I stayed in my marriage when things got tough. That's why I stayed with my kids, though I wanted to throttle them when they were misbehaving as teenagers. But it was just remembering the bigger why, the bigger context. That for me has been the single biggest, success formula, if you will, for staying in the race and really finishing was just keeping that why very present to me.
And you talked about that earlier in this episode, particularly with your book, how the why of helping so many other authors and people wanting to build their platform was so important to you. That's really, what helped drive you through and persist.
Yep.
Well, I want to thank you, Michael, and I want to thank you, the listener, because we have been talking about how to teach ourselves to be better at persisting. And if you've enjoyed this episode, you can get the show notes and the full transcript over at Michael's blog at michaelhyatt.com. And if you'd rather look at us and watch us, you can see the full video as well over at michaelhyatt.com as well. Lastly, I'd love to ask you a favor. Can you just take 30 seconds, jump over to iTunes, and just rate the podcast? The reason being is because we want to attract more people like you to the show. The only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps get the show more visibility. So take 30 seconds, do that for us. We'd be greatly appreciated. Michael, as we wind down today's episode, do you have any final thoughts?
I do. There's nothing in life that's worth accomplishing that doesn't come with resistance. And that requires persistence. The only way you can win is to push through the resistance, persist to get to the other side. So it's a muscle that we all need to learn to develop. So when you have the opportunity to exercise it, welcome it. Don't resent it, but welcome it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. And thank you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.